This is Bro A, and he pastored here for many, many years. He founded the ministry, and then he handed it down to me. And Paris Christian Center would not be here. It would not be what it is today without him and my mother. And so I always like to give credit and honor to where credit and honor is due. That's how you get somewhere in life.
Let me say something. Kelly is pastoring this church better than I ever did. Stronger, deeper, longer, harder. And I'm so I couldn't be any prouder. So I just want to say that also. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen. We do our normal stuff, and I like normalcy, but I also like when the Holy Spirit moves. And I just kind of feel in my heart right now as Kayla sang that song, and y'all can get me some music if you want to, and if you don't, that's fine too. But I want to speak to that person right now where perhaps you've battled depression all week long. Perhaps you've had a moment of sadness in your week. If that's you right now, I want you to stand, because see, God wants to give you joy where there's been some sadness in your life. And I really feel that very, very strongly this morning. And I want to tell you that God cares right where you're at. God knows every moment of sadness that you've had in a week. He knows every little heart that's broken this week. And so I'm going to begin to pray for you right now. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the place right now, God, I call out that spirit of depression, and I tell it to go from your children right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over them right now, and I tell every bit of depression and sadness to go in Jesus' name, and I tell it to be replaced with joy, God, and happiness. Lord, I thank you, God, that morning, it may last for a nighttime, but God, joy comes in the morning, and I call that joy down right now in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Now let's all stand together. Paris Christian Center has things that we do. And I like tradition and I like new things, but there are some things, Sherry, I'm going to do till the day I die or don't pastor here. And every Sunday morning we stand to our feet. And we do that because God doesn't want you to forget that He's made you to stand. There are times where you want to quit and give up. There are times where it gets hard and you think that maybe you should just walk away, that life would be better without you in it. No, it wouldn't. God needs you there, and He's going to make you stand. When you can't stand on your own, He's going to lift you up. So right now, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for every person. Lord, I ask that you would meet them exactly where they're at today. God, if that's in trouble and heartache, Lord, I thank you that you're meeting them there. I speak to addiction in this place right now, and I bind it up right now. God, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So right now, I bind up addiction right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I bind it up in our city. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to saturate the Logan County Jail right now with God, who you are. Lord, I ask that you would go into every pod right now, Lord, and show them who you are, God. If there's healing in this place that needs to take place, God, I ask that you'd heal them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have got a burning question. You know, one of the number one complaints that a pastor gets in a church service, or at all, this is going to blow your mind. I was too cold. Pastor, I was too hot. If you keep on keeping it hot in that church, Pastor, I'm going to find somewhere else to go. Let's take a boat, okay? Who is cold? Raise your hand. Is anybody cold? Who is hot? Do we have any hot folks? Mikey, that's your sweet wife you're sitting by, honey. I hope you're telling her that every day. So, is anybody hot or cold? Are we good? All right. Well, hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Kelly, and I want to welcome you to Paris Christian Center Church. And I want to tell you that this is an interdenominational church. I don't care if you're Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian, whatever you are, it is what you are. And if that gets you to heaven, then great. What I want to know is, do you believe in Jesus and have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? So I don't get into all of the denominational things. What I'm interested in is just Jesus. Amen. So you are all welcome here. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 124. I always feel like I need to give a disclaimer. You're probably going to know in the next 5 minutes if you like my kind of preaching or not, because it is what it is, and I'm going to keep it real. We're going to go right from the word, and we're going to keep it real, Miss Sherry. You know, if pastors will keep it real, people in the pew will be able to keep it real a little easier. Amen. Psalms chapter 124, and we're going to begin at verse 1. And it says, if the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. And I want to tell you something right here and now. There are times where you can have a pity party for yourself. And if you're prone to doing that, I'm prone to having pity parties for myself. Is there anybody else like that that wants to cop up to it? I'm just so happy people are honest here. I'm glad everybody's not perfect. I would be way out of place. So there are times where, you know, I want to throw myself a pity party. But Kayla, at the end of the day, here's what I can say. And I'm going to read it right out of the Word of God again. Psalms chapter 124, verse 1. If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us and when their anger flared up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. And I want to tell you something this morning. Whatever you think when you walked up in here today, God is on your side. See, if God had not have protected you, it would have been it. There are people and they say, well, I don't know if I believe in God. And a lot of pastors get all upset about that. Look here, I'm not upset about that when people tell me they don't believe in God. Because here's the deal. I know and I trust God, Jill. I know that just the pure goodness of God, Keisha, when it gets off on folks, I can't sit there and talk you into loving Jesus enough, but just the presence of God, when it comes down and when it washes over every sin that you've ever done, see, that'll make you believe in God. That'll make you trust God. That'll let you know that, you know what, God is with me. And I want to tell you this morning that God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. Many times in a battle, that battle will make you feel isolated and it'll make you feel alone. And you'll say, God, are you there? Lord, I don't have anybody. Look here, you got God and that's all that you need. That's all that you need. So it says here, if God had not been on our side when men attacked us and when their anger flared up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. The flood would have engulfed us. How many of you remember the flood a few years back? I'm telling you what, we've dealt with floods, we've dealt with pandemics, we've dealt with toilet paper shortages, all of it. I'm still reeling about that. We've got a national, international, countrywide, worldwide issue, and the only thing anybody cares about is the toilet paper. They're like, I'll call on Jesus right when I go to Walmart and get that toilet paper, and I'm going to sock somebody right in the nose if they try to get the last one. But look here, when the flood came, Keisha, had it not have been for God. Right. Had it not have been for God. You know, so many times we say, when it rains, it pours. Your life could be going on just perfectly, it seems like. And then you'll have an issue. And then before you know it, you've got another issue and another issue and another issue. Look here, had it not have been for God, those problems and those heartaches, they would have washed over you and took you down. But see, God would not allow it. And that's what you need to understand the next time that you want to have a pity party. That's what I need to understand the next time I want to have a pity party is, look here, had it not have been for God up to this point in your life, you wouldn't be able to stand today when Pastor Kelly got up and said, hey, let's stand to our feet. See, that's not by accident that somebody's getting you to be active in the service. That's God wanting to show you. And somebody needs to hear today, you know what? God is with you. God is on your side. There are people and they feel like because they've done so many things, God's not with them because they've done too many number 10s. Let me tell you, if you've got breath in your lungs, God is with you. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too many things. You haven't messed your life up so bad that He doesn't want to mess with you. God's with you. God is with you. There are things that God may have to work out of you, but don't kid yourself. God is with you. I've pastored Parish Christian Center now over 3 years, and what I can tell you is that it has been the joy of my life. It has been the joy of my life. But it has worked some things out in me, Jill, that I didn't think anybody could work out in me. And let me tell you something. When you pastor through a pandemic and you see pastors, other pastors, pastored 35, 40 years, and they just completely walk away from the ministry because it got too hard, that'll be intimidating for you. I kept asking God, God, are you sure about me? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? Because what do you mean you created a pandemic? I'm in a pandemic now, and this is the first year of pastoring. Look here, everything went wrong that first year of pastoring. I thought, I've been in the ministry my whole life. This is going to be a piece of cake. I remember telling somebody this. This is going to be fine. I got this. Let me tell you something. I didn't have it, but I got it. And God gives it to me. He gives me my daily bread on a daily basis. But in the beginning of the pandemic, the church, my mother went to the bathroom, in the women's bathroom. And I'm going to try to stop walking around because my sweet little buddy back there, I have known him since he was a baby. And he is the best, most faithful young adult that we have here. Amen. And it's hard for him to follow Pastor K. I'm going to try to slow down, bub. I can't promise you that I will, but I'm going to try. We're going to have Cabron do it good. He's a young buck. Cabron, I'm not going to take it easy on you. No, just kidding. But in the beginning of the pandemic, my mother, Millie, she's got the kids right now. She went to the bathroom, and she says what every pastor hates to hear. There's water on the floor. I said, well, here's what I like to do when I first hear about problems that could be big. I like to tell myself there's not water on the floor and everything's fine. I thought, Mom's just saying that. She's just being too whatever. Well, there was no doubt water everywhere, and it flooded the back of the church. And for 3 days, we had a plumber. And I'm pretty sure we turned him into an alcoholic. Because for 3 days, around the clock, he dug. He dug through the floor. He dug through the foundation. I walked in the women's bathroom, and I couldn't see but just his head because he was in the ground, in the dirt, in the women's bathroom. And back then, I felt like I had to micromanage. So I didn't sleep for 3 days. Because I was sitting there thinking of all my plumbing skills, which is basically YouTube. And I was trying to find a solution that could be the issue to that plumbing problem, Jill. And I go and I said, how's it going? And he goes, I'm not going to mention his name because you all know who he was and you'd laugh. He goes, man, this ain't going good. I don't know what to do. I thought, oh my gosh. And then pandemic issues on top of that. And at the end of that 3 days, God said, Kelly, you're going to have a really hard time pastoring if you cannot let things just be. If you will trust me with the church. See, the church is just a building. A lot of people put so much stock into just the building. But make no mistake, you're the church. Amen. You're the church, each and every person. See, when you hug somebody and they were down, Kayla, when you sing and that ministers to me and everybody else, amen, you're the church. Amen. And I said, God, help me to be able to give that over to you. And I walked in the next day, the fourth morning, and I said, look here. I told the plumber, look here. Your dad was with him, McKenna. And I said, look. Here's what I know about God. God is going to fix this problem. He's going to give you wisdom, and he's going to give you knowledge. And this flood problem, this is going to stop, and it's going to stop today. Because here's what I'm prepared to do. I'm prepared to preach outside if I've got to preach outside. And that's what I did for the next 3 months. See, if the floods could keep you and wash over you, That would be one thing. But Jill, see, God won't allow it. God won't allow it. Now, he may make some things mold you and change you and teach you. But at the end of the day, what you have to have a really good grasp on is it doesn't matter hell or high water. It doesn't matter what you go through. God is still with you. You can't think that every time something happens in your life, oh, God's up and left, where is he? No, God is still exactly who he says that he is, and he's still on the throne. But you're going to have to trust him like you've never trusted him before. You're going to have to let that faith grow up inside of you. There's been a lot of things after that. And I've just went to bed, Michelle. And I've named them off. God, if you fixed the flood. Lord, if you got us through the pandemic. God, if you helped my mother and you healed her body of cancer. God, if you've been with me in the worst time of my life. And I just begin to call out the things to God. God, I'm going to just give this a rest. I'm going to give it a rest. See, what do you do when you have life troubles? You know what? You refer back to the past. I don't tell people to refer back many times because they'll get to feeling bad about themselves. But look back and see how good God was to you. Look and see what he's done in your life. And so it says that the flood would have engulfed us and the torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. And praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. I was thinking last night I was going to preach a message called The Power of Let, because the Bible says it so many times. But it says here again, praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn. And I want to talk to you for a moment on letting. The word also says, let not your heart be troubled. God is on your side, and God is there to help you. But there's some things that you have to do. And one of the things is Keisha, you're going to have to let some things be. In the early years of my pastorship, once again, I said, God, how am I going to make the church grow? And he began to minister to my heart. He said, Kelly, you're not going to make anything happen. But what you're going to do is you're going to let it happen. You're going to let it grow. You're going to let it grow. Kelly, when I want to do some pruning, you're going to be good with that. When I want to do growth, you're going to be good with that. But let it. Let it. When your heart wants to get all messed up and all stressed out and all depressed and all sad and anxietied up, you speak that word over your heart that says, you know what? God, you said. God, I didn't say it, but Lord, you said that I was the apple of your eye. God, you said in your word that I was the head and not the tail. Lord, you said in your word that you would never leave. So God, right now, I thank you that you've poured out grace over this situation right now. God, I thank you right now that you have not ordered a failure for my life, but God, you've ordered victory. So God, right now, I choose to walk in that victory in Jesus' name. See, if a flood could get you, the devil would have an easy job. Is the devil messing with you this morning? Is he gotten a hold of you? Well, stand up. Realize God's on your side. There's been many times over the past few months where I felt like, well, is this one on my side? Is this one on this? And is this one on that? And you know what, Michelle? I had to just lay that down at the altar. You know why? Because the only thing that should matter to you or to me or to any of y'all is God on your side? Is God on your side? And if he is, then stop worrying who else is on your side. And I have to preach that first and foremost to myself. But you know what, Sherry? At the end of the day, literally, and the word of God says it, if God is with you, who could be against you? See, even Moses, when the Israelites got a golden calf and they made an idol, they made a god, Moses got down and he said, Aaron, what's up? And Aaron said, well, they wanted to do this. And Moses said, look here, you, Who's on the Lord's side? God's on your side. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? And let me tell you something. Let me give you a nugget. How many of you like chicken nuggets? I used to love them, but having kids has really burnt me out of them. I just see a chicken nugget, and I'm like, oh, I'd rather starve than eat you. Now, my Lulu girl, when I eat fried chicken, she eats fried chicken. When I have pork chops, that's what she eats. And I want y'all to be praying. Who will pray for Lulu? We've got an issue. And the issue is this right here. She is going back into heat again. And she is my 2-pound chihuahua. And right now, she will bark at the air. She's got a real attitude problem. And the internet, WebMD, says she's keeping that problem for like 3 weeks. And I don't know if her and I can dwell together with that going on. But I decided it would be a great time to have a sleepover for my kiddos. And them little boys couldn't even walk past her without her flipping out. She wasn't having it. And I was thinking, if there was any oatmeal chocolate cookies from Miss Mary, I would give those to her. And all you folks that think that I'm killing her, look here, she'll die happy. All right? And you women know how much of a necessity chocolate is to you. So don't get offended when you see me on the internet giving her some dark chocolate. That is fine for her. Right, Sherry? Yes. So anyways, it says here, let's get back to topic. It says in verse 6, praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. And you know, there's been many times in my life where I said, God, such and such could have happened last week when my children were in a very awful, horrific car accident. And I looked at that car and I said, God, do you know what could have happened to my boys? God said, Kelly, I didn't let it happen. I didn't let it. I didn't allow it. You ever look at your life and you say, you know what, God, had you not have been there, that would have not been good for me. See, God won't let it happen. He won't let it happen. And it says that we have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. And the snare has been broken and we have escaped. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. You ever feel like you're coming up against a brick wall in your prayer life? In your situation, and you keep knocking on that and you keep saying, Lord, what's going on? Lord, what's going on? I remember a time 4 or 5 years ago when we were trying to sell these houses over here. The church bought 3 houses. And my dad waited to buy those houses for 15 years. I want to tell you something. Many times God is not saying no. He's just saying not right now. The right thing could happen at the wrong season in your life. Doesn't mean it's not right. It just means it's not time yet. Finally, it got time to purchase those 3 houses, Jill. And we did that. And at that point in time, I worked for the church under Bro A here. And my job, Jenny, was to sell those houses. Well, I thought, I'm the best real estate agent I know. Besides Brother Sam, I could sell you air more likely. And I thought, this is going to be no big deal. No biggie. Let me tell you. Them things had cockroaches up in them for like days. And I had my nephew Evan over there with me. And we got up into this house and you could see the ground through the floor. There was a hole in it. I said, Evan, Aunt Kel has had an epiphany. Here's what we're going to do. This carpet is retaining this smell. And so what we're going to do, being the real estate agent that I am, we are going to tear this carpet up, Evan, and it's going to take care of them cockroaches, and it's going to take care of that smell. Well, any 15-year-old boy is going to go along with his aunt. We got the carpet up, and he goes, well, Aunt Kelly, isn't it going to be bad when you show people this house and there's a hole in the floor? I said, Evan, we're not going to think about that right now. They for sure wouldn't like the smell. Well, we swept and we swept and we swept, and we couldn't get it clean. And I was still seeing cockroaches that I was certain would get everything taken out of when we got rid of the carpet. Well, I said, Evan, I've had another epiphany. I'm going to go to my house and I'm going to get the electric blower. And I'm just going to blow the cockroaches right out the door. Sam, I'm good to pray for your real estate, but you probably don't want my advice on some of those things because it's wrong. And so we go home. We start blowing the cockroaches right out the door. Well, we thought we did. They were in my hair. They were down my shirt. They were up my drawers. They were everywhere. And we continued to mess with this. And then after all that, I had to take my then 7-year-old to a pool lesson for, needs to learn how to swim. That's what I told myself, and they do. So I remember sitting there, Kayla, telling God, God, these houses are not sellable. They're not. And Dad has given me an impossible job. And I cannot do that job. I remember just being bummed. And very few times am I just bummed because I think I can just do anything. Everybody's like, how do you go, go, go? Well, I don't know. It's just in my DNA. But I was sure I could sell those houses. And Jill, when I had the real epiphany that I couldn't sell them, it really depressed me. And I remember Dad calling. I remember right where I was sitting at the Paris pool. And I told him, I started the baby girl act. Sometimes that's all you got to lean on when you're a baby of the family. I said, look, Dad. I started crying a little. There's no way I can sell those houses. There's no way. That's too hard. Have you seen them houses? And I gave him every sob story in the book. And at the end of it, he said, Kelly, God has a perfect family for those houses. And no, you're not going to sell them, Kelly, but God is. God's going to sell them. Well, lo and behold, Miss Mary, some man out of nowhere called. And I thought, oh, brother, I have done ripped the carpet out of here. There's still cockroaches everywhere. It still smells. There's an obvious plumbing issue, and Lord, we know I'm not good with that. I'm just going to let him walk in, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut. That's the best real estate move I got. Go in there and look at it yourself. Well, he walked in. This is no lie. He had a wife and 3 little babies, Kayla, and they were like yours. They were just step 3 of them. And when he walked in, he said, well, this is where so-and-so's room could be right here. And then he just began to walk through the house, and he just began to look at every room. And he said, I want it. That house is still there today. It's on Airport Road. When you go out of town, they've made it into a home. That was 15 years in the making. What did God have to do? Well, first of all, he put it on Broe's heart. See, so many things could get you down, but what you really need to know when it comes down to it is God's on your side. And God is with you. And God will perfect every detail about the situation. There is no amount of worrying or stressing or laboring over that problem that you can do that's going to make it any easier. But what you can do is let God do it. let him do it. You say, well, Pastor Kelly, how do I do that? Well, here's what you do. You back up and you keep backing up till you're as far away from that situation as you need to be, and you take your hands off of it and you shut your mouth. Don't give that problem any more life. Stop resuscitating it and just tell God, God, I'm going to let you work. God, I'm going to let you move. Let's go now to Psalms chapter 56. We're going to look at verse 8 through 13. And I'm going to read this to you now out of the Contemporary English Version because I absolutely love how it reads. So Psalms chapter 56 and verse 8. And it says right here, you have kept record of my days of wandering, and you have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them. As Kayla was singing that song this morning, it's too good to not believe. It's too good to not believe. The word says, I'm going to read it to you one more time. You have stored my tears in your bottle. Not only has he stored your tears, but he's counted each of them. He's counted them and he's stored them. See, God knows what's been on your heart. God knows what's had you troubled. He's stored up those tears and he's counted them. How many of you like to read? Okay, well, here's a tidbit. I don't. And I love people that do because I have a very big respect for them. I don't have the attention span for that. But what I do have the attention span for is listening. So one day, I thought, you know what? Reading's not my thing, but I want to hear the book called The Shack. Now, if that offends you, then you're really going to have to get over that. Okay? Oh my gosh, the pastor likes The Shack. Oh my gosh, she watches TV. Oh my God, she wore a short skirt to church. Look here, get over it. This ain't that kind of church. Okay? Real people are here.
That's right, amen.
Right? So I began to listen to The Shack. And the character that represented the Holy Spirit, he began to minister to this guy. And he had a vessel. And this guy began to weep. And the Holy Spirit walked right up to him, Kayla. And he put that vessel right on his cheek. And that tear fell in that vessel. And he said, I have counted every tear. I have counted every tear. Not only have I counted them, but I've stored them. And I want to tell you something right now. God knows every moment, every tear. He knows every single thing about that situation. And God is for you. There's so many things in life that make us feel like we're alone. Well, you know what, God, I don't have anybody. You know what, maybe you've been in a situation where people left you and you thought that they were going to always be with you. Look here, God is with you. God is with you. Maybe you've walked through a heartache in your life and people didn't choose you. Look here, God is still with you. When nobody chooses you, God chooses you. When everybody that said they were going to be there for you and they've left, God has not left. See, God will count every tear and he stores every tear. God knows. God knows and God's with you. And it says here in Psalms chapter 56, when I pray, Lord God, my enemies will retreat. It doesn't say if I pray. It says when I pray. When I pray. Lord, when I pray, my enemies will retreat. The issue is many people have lost the connection that they had with God because they're not praying. They're not praying. I'm going to ask you some questions. Do you pray daily? See, let's get to where we live. Do you pray daily? when you pray. See, the word says, and when ye stand praying, if you have aught against anybody, go to that person and forgive them. Make that right. Let me tell you something. There isn't anybody on the planet that's worth you having a grudge over. There isn't anything in any situation that's worth harboring that's going to cost you a prayer to not be answered. It says, when you pray, Lord, when I pray, my enemies retreat. Pray. Pray. When your heart wants to get troubled, pray. So many times I've prayed this prayer. God, I literally do not know how on earth you are going to fix this. I don't know. But God, I do know that you are. I do know that you are. I remember a time where my sister Casey, she was wanting to have a baby so bad. And she was broken over not having a baby as soon as she wanted to. And the doctor said, no doubt, you'll never have a kid. You never will. Well, how many of you know it doesn't really matter what the doctor says? It doesn't matter what the insurance company says. At the end of the day, what really matters is, what does God say? What does he say? So Casey's over there, and how many of you got a sister? I've got sisters. How many of you love your sisters? Well, I love my sisters. I love all three of them. And you know what, Keisha? I would have had a baby for her and given it to her if that's what she would have wanted. But you know what? That wasn't God's best. And I had issues having my kids, too. I don't know what is it with us girls. We're just riled up. I don't know. But God spoke to me one day in here, and this is probably about 15 years ago. And Casey just went in the nursery. She said, I'm just going to go in the nursery. I said, oh, gosh, being around a bunch of babies isn't going to make that problem any better for your mental state. And I just saw her in there with all the kids, and she was just weeping. And God spoke to me, said, Kelly, you go in here and you pray this prayer. And I went in there, and I put my hands on her shoulders, and I said, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I don't know how you're going to make her have children, but God, I thank you that you are. See, you don't have to know exactly how God is going to fix your problem. You don't have to know how he's going to maneuver everything. But what you do need to know is that he is. When push comes to shove, Miss Mary, here's what I know. At the end of the day, when all the chips have fallen, and let me tell you, the chips fell, God was on my side. When it mattered the most, God has backed me so many times. Why? Because I'm perfect? No. Because I always made the right decisions? No. But because I loved him. Because I loved him. Because I do what most people would not do, which is walk in their calling. Be where they're supposed to be. It's easy to do that when everything's going good in your life. I've preached many a sermons with a broken heart. And I've preached even more sermons with the peace of God. Yes, amen. Amen. And it says here, you have kept record of my days of wandering, and you have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each of them. When I pray, Lord God, my enemies will retreat, because I know for certain that you are with me. I know for certain that you're with me. Do you know for certain? Do you know for certain? Dad and I, we have always had this thing where when we really wanted to talk, Angel, what I have to do with him is I have to get him in the truck by himself. And we'll ride around and we'll cruise together and we'll talk. And I can't tell you how many of those talks that I've had in my lifetime. And I know early on, Keisha, in the ministry, I had a lot of those talks with him. And he would say, when I first started the ministry, those things would freak me out too. And what I can tell you, Kelly, is this right here. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. What's really gotten you today? What's concerned you today? What's made you feel like it's impossible today? God's on your side. He's with you. He knows exactly how much you've cried over it. He's counted those tears. He has stored them up. And he's got a many, many, many promises for your life. Many times what I've learned about people is what they really need is somebody to just look them in the face and tell them it's going to be okay. And I can look each and every one of you eyeball to eyeball, and I can tell you this right here. It is definitely going to be okay. You will make it, and you will live to tell about it. You will even live to laugh about it. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but it will be. And so it says, I will keep my promises to you, my God, and bring you gifts. You protected me from death and kept me from stumbling so that I would please you and follow the light that leads to life. Let's go to Psalms chapter 118, verse 5. We're not going to say who that is. Michelle, help him. That never fails. Dad's like, y'all all turn your cell phones off. Turn them off. Don't be disrespectful to Jesus. Well, look here. This is not an uptight church, okay? God really has a sense of humor. He's down there going, Angelo, Angelo. No. Look here, back in the day, my dad would be on the stage. If any of you wonder why we turn the lights on when he sings, it's because there comes a time in your life you can't see them words as good as you used to be able to. But he used to be able to, on the stage, during his singing of praise and worship and strumming the guitar, don't ask me how he did it, he would snap his finger at the kids that were messing up in church, and he'd call them down right in the middle of praise and worship. And they'd stop dead in their tracks right there. Like, oh, Brother Angelo just got on to me. He's going to tell my dad to whip me next. I always had a tally of whippings by the time I got out of church. And I always got them, all of them. I always prayed for amnesia. He never got it. God did not answer those prayers. I got every last lick he promised. One day he did Casey a favor or whatever it was. I'm not sure. He spelled out mercy when she was supposed to, grace when she was supposed to get whippings. Look here, he did not do that for me. Dad's like, yes, I did. I watched him with the grandchildren and I'm like, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Are you really going to let them little brats of mine get away with that? He doesn't even hear their nonsense. I'm like, Dad, you're going to have to help me. They're acting up. He's like, they're not that awful. They're just out there trying to walk on the pond during the ice. It's okay. Psalms chapter 118 and verse 5. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. I'm going to read that one more time. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. God is with you. God is on your side. And Gail, many times, the answer that God gives us to the problem is he just sets us free. sometimes when God sets us free from the problem, we've had the problem so long we don't know how to be without that problem. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself and move on with your life and be happy. Amen. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Look here, if God wasn't with you, I would say be very afraid. But He's with you. He's with you. Last week, Keisha, when I was driving up to get my boys from that accident scene, God and I had a little talk. I said, God, You tell me what to do. I'll preach or I'll be with my boys. He said, Kelly, You go preach. I was already with the boys. Let me tell you something. Your life isn't going to always be easy. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have things happen. You're going to have people mess you over and be bad to you. And it's going to hurt. Look here. God is so good. He'll make even that bad situation turn out for your good. And it says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. And I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. And I want to ask you today, what is your trust in? What is your trust in? If it's in men, they're going to let you down. If it's in people, they're going to let you down. They don't mean to. What I've had to really learn is that many times when you're hurt by people, it's not that they meant to. It's just they were hurting themselves. They were hurting themselves. And I've learned, it's taken me a long time to learn it, but I've learned to give people something called the benefit of the doubt. I didn't used to like to give them any of that. But when you work with people, and God tells you to love them, Jill, that's what you got to do. What does it say? I will look in triumph on my enemies. You know what I do with my enemies, and I don't have a lot of them? I always say, Lord, what are You going to do about them? They've done this, this, and this. Look here. When stuff starts happening with them, immediately my heart turn soft, and I just begin to pray with them. Pray over them. God, here's what I tell the Lord, Jill. Many times I've prayed this prayer. God, if this happened to them because of what they did to me, God, I'm asking You right now to stop that in their life because I don't want anything bad happening to my enemy. There's people, and they just want to see everybody suffer for what they've done to them. Look here. Here's what I know. I have enemies, and I am someone's enemy. Now, that's a bold statement, but you know what, Jen? Here's the deal. I'm going to be the best enemy that I can be. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray over them. Why? Because at some point, God will make it to where I don't have any enemies. And until He does, He will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I used to bump shoulders with people in the town that thought it was awful for a woman to be a pastor. Look here. You know what they ask me now? Pastor Kelly, come here. Let's go over here. How did you do that? I said, come here. Let's get by everybody else. Let's tell everybody. Because it's not a secret. God did it. God did it. Can God anoint a little ditzy blonde girl? Yes, He can. Can God anoint you and call you out by name and set you apart? Yes, He can, and He has. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't have favorites. But He has a way of making you feel like you are His favorite. Right. Next place for me, Psalms chapter 121. We're going to look at verse 1 through 8. And it says here, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? God is on your side, and God is there to help you. And you best know that all your help at the end of the day is coming from God. God may send someone to help you, but make no mistake, God did that. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Every morning, before I let my little toe touch the carpet, Michelle, here's what I tell God. God, everything I am today, I give it to you right now. God, help me stay in between the lines where I need to be. Lord, you have the right to correct me. God, you have the right to bless me. God, you have the right to stop me right in my tracks and have me pray for anybody that you want to. God, you have the right to take my last breath today, God, if that's what you want to do. God, use me today, however you see fit, God. You really want God to be with you in every moment? Be with your children when you can't be with them? See, you can't be with your kids every moment of every day. But you can stand on the promise that he gave you about your children and that he gave you about your life. Where does your help really come from? It comes from God. And if you still think that you're the one doing it all, you're sadly mistaken. God, my help comes from you. So God, I ask that you would make a way. God will always do it bigger than what you ever thought. We started that food ministry with one table with leftover goods from the church. Look what he's done. How did he do it? Because, Angel, I let him do it. I said, God, I never see in your word where you qualified people. Say, well, no, you can come and eat. No, you can't. I never saw that in the word. That's why we don't do it. I never saw Jesus say, well, you got to come to a church service to come here and get this food. That's why we don't do that. I never saw Jesus say, well, you weren't good enough, so you can't have it. What I saw is God gathering people, Jesus gathering them, feeding them, healing them, helping them, and accepting them. If you think you can get someone saved or lead them to Christ, judging them, you can't. It doesn't work. Why? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. See, where I would judge somebody and say, ugh, I don't want to mess with that. God's saying, no, I want to mess with that. Bring that over here. I'm going to restore that person. I'm going to help that person. I'm going to take those chains of addiction off of their life, and I'm going to make them into a walking, talking, breathing testimony. That's what God can do. God is here to help you, and God is here to be on your side. And it says here, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord is your help. The Lord is your help. This past week, I had a very weird circumstance happen. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes when God speaks to me, I'm like, God, am I going crazy or is this you? Because I'm like, I know I'm a little crazy. So I had a food pantry appointment this week. And a food pantry appointment is different than a food distribution. A food pantry appointment is when somebody comes in or they've made an appointment on our Facebook page or our website and they say, I need extra food. I don't have enough and I didn't get enough on Wednesday. And I was helping this lady, Jen, and I gave her a box of food like everybody else that I had prepared a box of food for that day. The same, had this, this, and this, and this in it. And it was the same. I went somewhere in town, and I saw her right after I had that food pantry appointment. And God said, Kelly, she needs more than what you gave her. Stop her in the parking lot and tell her to come back. I said, God, I don't want to look crazy. And then I thought of all the other times I've looked crazy and didn't care. I was like, okay, God, roll that window down, flop myself out. And I said, ma'am, stop. I felt like Brother Angelo with all the theatrics. Stop right where you're at. Stop. Stop it. Stop walking. I said, God has just informed me that I did not give you enough food. And he wants you to come back to the church, and I will load you down with the mother load of it. And she just began to cry right in the parking lot. She said, they just tried to run my EBT, and it won't go. And I don't even have $5 to my name. So we get in the parking lot, and I said, open your trunk up. Open your doors up. Open everything. Because, see, my God says that he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you'll not even be able to contain it all. See, that's the God that I serve. All the other gods, they ain't worth a darn. All of them. So she opens all of her doors, all of her trunks, and I just start cramming this stuff in there. And she just starts crying. And God said, now look here. She came to get food, and I came to give her me. I said, you know what, sweetie? I don't know you from Adam, but here's what I know. Don't ever ask God if he cares, because God cares. Don't ever wonder if he loves you, because God loves you so much that he stopped you. He made sure that I ran into you again, and he stopped you, and he spoke to my heart, and he told me to have you come back down here. Don't ever wonder if God can hear you. God hears you. Begin to speak to God. And the whole time I was talking, and she was putting that food in, tears just kept coming. She goes, you have no idea what I've been through today. Look here. I said, no, I don't. But God does. Yes, amen. Trust God. God's here to help you. Go with me now to Romans chapter 8. Last place for me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to tell you that you've all been called. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. You know what? God is your help. You don't have to sit there and justify and defend yourself all the time. You can't bark at every dog that's barking back at you. God will justify you. God will defend you. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Last night I said, God, what would you have me to tell your children tomorrow? And he said, Kelly, just tell them I'm with them. I'm with you. I'm with you. I want to look each one of you in the eye today, and I want to tell you that God is with you, that God is there to help you, that God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going to go through 10 days from now. Y'all stand to your feet. I want to do one last thing, and I wrote it down in my notebook. And yes, now I have my cell phone out in service. I told you I was not that kind of pastor. So there is a very sweet couple, and they are actually a part of this church, and we don't see them a lot. And their name is Jimmy and Michelle Campbell. And they came down here in the summer, and they want to be here. They're a part of the church. I'm their pastor. They're your church family, and they want to be here. And in order to do that, they need that house to sell. Now, Brother Sam, you come up here, because, see, Brother Sam is the best real estate agent I know. And, Brother Sam, I want you to call this address out, and I want you to call that address sold.
God, in the name of Jesus, I call out 6523 North Sierra Vista, Fresno, California, 93710. God, I ask you to send a perfect person, not just the perfect, but the one family that you want for that house, that it's going to be perfect for them. They're even going to say when they're there, this house is perfect, and the deal's going to be made, and this family's going to come here, Father God, and they're going to love Arkansas just like her best friend loves Arkansas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all are dismissed. Have a beautiful Labor Day. There will be no service tonight.